الحمد لله الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم، وقال تعالى: يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising the Almighty Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted us tremendous favors. And part of His favors is that He has granted us a deen which He has protected and preserved. And not only protected and preserved, but made the necessary means for the preservation of that deen. And we send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation, who is not only the Nabi of this Ummat, but is Nabiul Anbiya, who is Sirajam Munira. And Allah has done a tremendous favor upon us by sending him as a prophet, the way Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Respected elders and brothers, we also have another prominent speaker who will be following me, so I want to get directly into the topic as it has been introduced. The topic being the virtue of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and her father Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. Before that, I would like to just outline the theme and bring in this aspect of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's virtue within this broader theme. And the theme that I'm going to be speaking about is how Allah has preserved this deen for us. Allah Ta'ala has taken a promise in the Holy Quran, an undertaking, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have revealed the Quran and we will see to its protection. Allah Ta'ala has taken the Quran and the deen of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala has taken an undertaking to protect this deen of Almighty Allah. The deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be protected in various ways. Allah will protect the deen, Allah will protect the Quran through the means of the Hufaz. The words of the Holy Quran are protected by the Hufaz. Allah Ta'ala protect the meanings of the Holy Quran through the means of the ulama. And it is amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen to the protection, preservation, and the sanctity and the sensitivity about this preservation of the deen of Almighty Allah. So that even right up till the day of Qiyamah, the deen of Almighty Allah would be there for anyone who wants to follow it. No one can say that the deen will not be there. The deen will be there. It's up to us how much we benefit from it. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks about in surah, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونٍ. Our ulama, when they make tafsir of this ayat, they say Allah Ta'ala speaks about how He sends the Holy Quran. We all know that the Quran has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the means of Hazrat Jibra'il. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْعَمِينَ. I've sent it through the means of Ruhi Amin. Now, look at how Allah mentions the preservation. That firstly, perhaps the person or the being whom you are sending it through might be someone who is not honorable. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. No, through the means whom he is coming, he is very honorable. Sometimes a person can be honorable, but he is not powerful enough to carry the message. So Allah Ta'ala says, Diyakuwa. No, no. He is very powerful, he is fully capable of carrying the message. Sometimes you can say he is powerful, but he might not have heard the message correctly. ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ. That also cannot be true because he is right next to the arsh. Sometimes he is powerful, he is right next to the arsh, he can listen to the message, but then he is not obedient. So he listens, but he goes against Allah Ta'ala's commands in terms of sending it or taking it to whom he is supposed to take. مُطَاعٍ. Very obedient. Sometimes he is obedient but might not be integrity. ثَمَّ أَمِين. He is also full of integrity. Why Allah is telling us all this? That this is how the Quran has come unto you. And then it could be that maybe the one whom he is sending it to, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he might not have been able to recognize Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. He already saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam previously before he came with the message of Almighty Allah. I sometimes wonder that how much Allah has taken to preserve this Quran is amazing. I say that, have you ever seen anywhere in this world, any faculty, any university that has a faculty for the proper pronunciation of a language? Ever saw anywhere in the world that there is a faculty in any university for the pronunciation of any language? The English language, we know, has got its inconsistencies and contradictions. I always look at this and I say that just to give you some of the examples of the inconsistencies of the English language, that they call what a doctor does to his patients a practice. So he's practicing upon us. The person who invests our money is a broker. I wonder how the world is broke. Huh? Look at the inconsistencies with regard to the language. There is no pine, there is no apple in pineapple. English muffins don't come from England. There is no ham in the hamburger. A boxing ring is round. It's not round, it's square. So all of that particular things, but I'm just trying to give an example. But there is a specific branch of knowledge known as ilm tajweed. What is it there for? Just to properly pronounce the Arabic language. And why is it to properly pronounce the Arabic language? Because the Quran is revealed in Arabic. So not only the words, not only the meanings, even the proper pronunciation, there is a specific type of branch of knowledge to protect the proper pronunciation of that language only because of the Quran. Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiya. I told people that, you know, when we were small, there was a ustad who used to teach us, he came from Bangladesh. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. You know, he taught us a formula to proper pronounce every letter of the Arabic language. It has no meaning, but it just tells you that the great lens to which Islam has gone to protect everything to do with the Quran and our deen. He used to teach us this. We start off with ba, babalimu, babalimu, baba wa mubaba. Bani buni bikar babul minal babubi. Don't ask me how I still retain that memory of those words. Maybe he properly gave us good hiding to see that we memorize it correctly. But that is how we learn the proper pronunciation of ba. Then he said, "Have you finished that? Now say tatalimuta." And you say, "Tal yayalimula, tell that." Only to properly pronounce the Arabic language. Brothers, this is only because of the preservation of the Quran. This is the length through which Allah has gone to protect the Quran. In a similar manner, the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a silsila of protection and preservation. From, I gave you an example of the Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, then to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Say, I'm a human being like you. I have been given wahi to tell you that there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the link between Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah till the day of judgment is the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in. Therefore, the sanctity of the sahaba is of such great importance. If you besmirch and you taint the honor of the sahaba, you not only taint them as a group, but then you also taint the entire message of whom they were the first recipients. So if you are going to taint them, then you have to be prepared to say that the message has not reached us correctly. And unlike other isms and ideologies, which we don't want to discuss. We want to discuss what we believe in. And our belief is that they were the first recipients of the Holy Quran. And they were the ones who had done justice in propagating what our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come with. It was our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great concern to see that he had preserved and propagated the message. That message about which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Rasul, go and propagate what Allah has revealed unto you. And such was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's concern. In front of 124,000 choicest specimens of humanity, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba in the farewell sermon in Arafat, O my companions, you would be asked about me. You would be asked that whether I have fulfilled my responsibility, what will be your answer? And all of the Sahaba in unison, they made mention, إِنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَهَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَسَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ O Prophet of Almighty Allah, you have fulfilled your responsibility, you have fulfilled your amanat, and you have propagated the message of Almighty Allah Ta'ala correctly. Such was Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's concern about it. He lifted his finger towards the heavens and the horizon and said, Allahumma, O Allah, bear witness to what these people have said. And what did he say? Bear witness to whom he said? Those companions, because they gave witness and evidence that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had propagated the message. So it is very clear that the Sahaba would be the ones who propagated the message. Now if you look at that theme, that is why according to us, in every particular area, in every expertise, in every profession, there is a benchmark, a criteria. Every particular type of profession, there is a criteria, a benchmark of quality. If you don't have a benchmark of quality and a criteria for excellence, you won't be able to gauge the greatness and the excellence in any field. So you have corporate people who have KPAs, key performance areas, criteria for excellence. In our deen also there is a criteria for excellence. And what is the criteria for excellence? What is the benchmark? Who do we benchmark against ourselves against? We can't benchmark against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation. He is ma'soom. And he is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. Who do you benchmark yourself against? Says Allah in the Holy Quran, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا If you bring iman, the way the iman, sahaba brought iman, you are upon the right path. The benchmark and criteria of excellence and superiority is the Sahaba. If you take that into account, then they become the means of preservation. And out of that, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu played a very significant role in the propagation. And Maulana will make mention of it, Maulana Bilal Mullah, about how he was the one who influenced many of the Sahaba, and especially his role after the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in preserving the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, you know, it's very interesting to take the quotation of people who are maybe prejudiced, but they will sometimes, Al-Fadlu ma shahidat bihi al-ada, the Arabic saying is, sometimes excellence can be gauged by what an enemy says. So William Mew is a very great Orientalist in terms, not of great, in terms of, we ask regarding him as great, but in his field. And when he speaks about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his role in preserving Islam, after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says an amazing statement. He said, but for Abu Bakr, Islam would have died at the throes of his birth. But for Abu Bakr, Islam would have died at the throes of his birth. Because his role after Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's death in terms of bringing the Sahaba together against the apostates, etc. is significant. And then of course, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Mawlana had made mention of that hadith. It was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu after the battle of Ghat al-Salasil who came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, who is most beloved to you? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And then he said, there's another significance also. One of the great aspects of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character was everyone regarded himself closest to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with everyone in such a way, everyone thought that he is the closest. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu also had that particular type of motive in mind when he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is closest to you? And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hazrat Aisha. And then amongst males, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now just imagine what a great rank. And then firstly the rank of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, I recited an ayat which Qari Sahib so beautifully rendered with regard to the virtue of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they are the mothers of the Ummah. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The wives of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم are the mothers of the believers. يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء. O wives of the Prophet, you are unlike any other woman. Your superiority is very great. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has made the arrangement for the preservation and the purification of every aspect of yours. Purified you from every aspect and chose you to become the wives of his beloved Habib. And many a times if you want to see the greatness of the wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then look at the greatness of their husband. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin wa at-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. Says Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Then amongst them, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's greatness is even more than that. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the superiority of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha over all other women is like the superiority of Tharid over other dishes. And Tharid was very popular amongst the people of Arabia. And this was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's position and his status. Now let us look, keep in mind the theme which I'm making mention. What was her significance? What do we learn from her greatness? What do we learn from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding her to be so close and saying that she is the most beloved to me? Various aspects. One of the aspects, first of all, let us say Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha grew up in a very noble home. Her tarbiyat was made by the greatest human being amongst believers, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And it is well known that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a special passion with regard to the tarbiyat of his children, to such an extent that even after they were married, even after Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was married and being the mother of the ummah, there are times that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to come and rebuke and remind her with regard to certain things. How many times it has happened? And one day his son, he told his son he was going somewhere, that you must feed the guest. And when he was about to feed the guest, then the guest said, I'm not going to eat till Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes back. And they waited for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, and he asked, have you fed the guest? And he said, no. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got so angry with him for some time, he cut off ties with him. He said, I told you to feed the guest, why didn't you feed the guest? Such tarbiyat that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu grew up with such tarbiyat under Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's protective shade and tarbiyat. And then of course we are all aware, an aspect that many a times people ask the question with regard to what was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu's age when she got married to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And yes, we have no hesitancy in saying that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu was young. She was 6 years when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got made nikah to her, and she came into the household of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the marriage was consummated after the age of 9. Now many a times people, because of the age that you and I are living in, we can understand this. But it's very important for us to understand few important points. One point is that you can never judge one error to another error. You can never judge one error to another error. And that is why many a times there are people who are here who have white beards, and they would know, let's say 30, 40 years ago, it was normal practice for girls to get married at the age of 15, 16, 17. When a girl reached the age of 19, 20 and did not get married, then people normally looked upon it as something is wrong. What is wrong with her? She hasn't got married and she's already at the age of 20. Yet nowadays, it is common practice, or it is maybe women get married 20, early 20s. But ask the people who have white beards, that say 30, 40 years ago, it was normal practice for girls to get married at the age of 15, 16, 17. When it came to 20, so if this was a situation and change in 40 years, what can you imagine the change in 1400 years? And then if you look at many of the aspects of the previous scriptures, many of the previous women and many of them, it was common practice for them to get married at that particular time between the age of 10 and 12. The Encyclopedia of Catholicism speaks about that Hazrat Maryam was at the age of 12 when she gave birth miraculously to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, at that particular stage in the desert where the temperament and the such, where women normally matured faster. And another important aspect was that we all know that the Quraysh always used to find fault with our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because of the hostility. Wherever they could find a fault to instigate or to object, they used to do so. But when it came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's marriage to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, nowhere is it recorded that they ever objected, because it was common practice. So that was, but what was the reason? Keep in mind the theme that I'm making mention of, the preservation of the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was uniquely capable to fulfill that role with regard to the preservation of the deen. All other wives of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some of them were more matured and elder than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of them, many of them, of course, she was the only one who was not previously married. So her tarbiyat and her type of nurturing took place under our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly. And part of the preservation, that this deen has been preserved, we have learned a substantial percentage of our deen through the means of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. I do not know how many of us know that out of the narrators of the sayings of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is ranked number 4. The greatest amount of narrations that have been narrated from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, 5,374 narrations. The second, Abdullah ibn Umar, 2,600. The third, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, 2,286. The fourth, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, 2,110. And not only narrations, in many ways her narrations were those that opened up the whole vista of knowledge for us in terms of understanding the deen with regard to the social matters and the household matters of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because of the keenness of intellect, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had love for her. And because of her capacity to grasp, and to be able not only to grasp, but also to make mention of it to other people, she occupies such a great position in terms of the preservation of the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Urwa ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, her nephew used to say, there is no one that I know who knew more about halal and haram than my aunt, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Sahaba used to say, whenever we used to be faced with any type of difficulty, the first port of call with regard to us understanding the Quranic ayat used to be Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Then her perception, the keenness of her intellect in making mention and asking specific questions, which brought up aspects that today you and I are fortunate to know because of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So many different types. One day Nabi Akram, let's give you some examples. One day Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man ahabba liqa Allah." Whoever loves meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala loves meeting him. Now, you and I, we will narrate that hadith. But look at the depth of perception. Ya Rasulullah, said Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, "I don't understand this. When you say whoever loves meeting Allah, Allah loves meeting him, that means people would love death. Yet, it's a natural thing for people not to like death. What is the meaning of this hadith?" Man ahabba liqa Allah, ya Rasulullah, I don't understand this. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Oh Aisha, the meaning of this is, when before you die, it is not in the normal aspects of your life, but before you die, Allah Ta'ala shows you your abode in Jannah, if you have been good and righteous. That time a person doesn't want to live in this world. He loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the time. This hadith says, not in normal circumstances, but in the circumstances before your death, when Allah Ta'ala shows you your abode, you love meeting Allah, Allah Ta'ala loves meet you. Look at that keenness. That comes about because she grew up under the nurturing and under the nurturing of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give an example of this. Man qusiba qudiba. He who is going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be facing punishment. Now you and I, we could have just read this hadith and without making mention of anything. Now look at how Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's perception. Ya Rasulullah, you have just, and I have heard you making dua. So many times I heard you making dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaba yasira. Oh Allah, grant me an easy reckoning. And here you are saying the hadith, he whose reckoning has been taken by Allah is going to be punished. There's a contradiction in the two, ya Rasulullah. On one hand you are saying, he, oh Allah, grant us an easy reckoning. On the other hand you are saying that whoever is being reckoned is going to be punished. What is the meaning, ya Rasulullah? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Aisha, the meaning of this is this. if Allah Ta'ala just sort of very briefly glances over your deeds and take what we will say a brief glance of your deeds, which is an easy reckoning, inshallah you will be safe. But if Allah Ta'ala scrutinizes, if Allah Ta'ala scrutinizes, and that is why we are not supposed to be proud about our ibadat. In Sahih Muslim there is a hadith, a person from the previous ummah, Nabi Karim S.A.W. was told, who made ibadat for 500 years. 500 years he made ibadat. And after 500 years of making ibadat, never did anything other than ibadat. Allah Ta'ala created a stream where he got fresh water, and there was provision made for him in a nearby tree for him to get some sort of risk, through which he used to eat and have water, sleep, and only do ibadat. And after 500 years, in Sahih Muslim, the riwayat is, Allah will tell him on the day of judgment, and Allah will tell the angels, go, because of my fazl and grace, go into Jannah. And he will say, after 500 years, Allah, your grace, what about my ibadat? There are two narrations with regard to it. I will just cut the matter short by saying, Allah Ta'ala will then tell the angels, call him on this day, La Zulm al-Yawm, no Zulam. Bring whatever ibadat he has done, and bring the aspect of Allah Ta'ala's favors upon him, giving him water without him being entitled to it. Allah's favors and his ibadat would be weighed, and Allah's favors will outweigh his 500 years of ibadat. Then Allah will tell the angels, now that the thing has been made mentioned, and there has been adl, and the deeds have been weighed in comparison of my favors, take him to Jahannam. Because my favors are more. So my favors have counted with regard to his ibadat. And then he will say, oh Allah, I plead with you through the means of your fazl, change your decision. And Allah Ta'ala will tell the angels, now because of my fazl, take him to Jannat. So this, look at Hazrat Aisha's perception. That if Allah scrutinizes your deeds, then you are going to get punishment. So we tell Allah, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Then one day, Hazrat Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention with regard to that if a virgin woman, a young girl, if she cannot be married without her permission. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't understand this. Many a times a woman wants to get married, especially when she is young, but she is unable because of shyness and modesty to be able to say yes. So what is going to be the position? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a woman who was not previously married and she is young, she is a virgin, then her silence is a sign of consent. This again, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And she was so perceptive. One day, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting, and as he was sitting, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting informally, the way sometimes you sit, you are not in a formal situation. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting informally. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, I sought permission. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said informally, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's kurta was, you know, not formally put forward, the lungi was slightly raised, you know, between the calves, between the knees and the ankles, slightly raised up, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued sitting like that informally. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sought permission. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat the way he was sitting, relaxing mode. And then there was a knock on the door. Who is it? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu seeks permission, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up, put up his kurta correctly, put his lungi correctly. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu seeing all this, when everyone is gone, Ya Rasulullah, tell me the situation. Abu Bakr came, Umar came, you said the way you were. Uthman came, you said formally. What is the reason? What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Why should I not show modesty to a person? Even the angel shows modesty in his presence. But where did we learn this? Then there was another situation where a man came in the presence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and sought permission. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man is known for his vulgarity. He is not a better person amongst us, our community. And yet when he came, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed him respect and honor. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did everything in terms of respect and honor. And thereafter when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did everything, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, after he went, Ya Rasulullah, you said he's like that, but look at how you respected him. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Aisha, the worst of people are those whom people stay away from because of their vulgarity and their lack of akhlaq. The worst of people. I say sometimes I wonder, today if someone because of his vulgarity, and maybe he's a gangster, or maybe he's got power and influence, people stay away from him. We take it as a matter of pride. what matter in evocated way, madam. Agarini have a pacha. He'll never come in front of me in future. We take it as a matter of pride. What in the song? The worst of people are those people stay away from you because of your vulgarity. All of this we learn from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So one is that what we have learned from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala in terms of that aspect. The other great aspect that we learn from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's life is speaking about the greatness of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is the relationship between her and our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brought a whole new dimension with regard to what a husband-wife relationship is. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us with regard to this. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with each and every one in accordance to their temperament. Every wife of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was different. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated them differently. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was matured and she was dignified, she was elderly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with her accordingly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even did not forget her friends after she had passed away. And whenever there was a sheep slaughtered in the house of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take a portion, go and give it to the friends of Khadija. I wonder if anyone amongst us would ever be, after the wife passes away, you still go and give gifts to the friends of the wife. This was the ala akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala came from a Jewish background. Because coming from a Jewish background into an Arabian background, there was certain degree of feeling, certain degree of sensitivity. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never made her feel as a foreigner in the house. And one day when someone told her that you are a foreigner and you are from a Jewish background, and she came and complained to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, next time anyone tells you with regard to that, tell them, my husband is Muhammadur Rasulullah, my forefather is Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam and Harun alayhi salatu wa sallam, don't let me feel inferior in comparison to you. And one day when Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala's camel broke down while going for the last farewell hajj, and she cried, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and wiped away her tears and wiped away her crying. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala on the other hand was different. She was young, keen, enthusiastic. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with her accordingly. Now I always tell people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with different wives according to their different temperaments. Now our situation different, huh? We got all understand. We don't have different wives with different temperaments. We only got one wife. So maybe that wife will have one of the temperaments that one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have. So deal with her in accordance with that. So if your wife has a temperament of the Hafsa, then deal with her according to that. Otherwise, I can't give you any other example. There was this one, I can just give you an example. One person got married again. So when he got married again, he told his one friend, "Why, you know what? I'm enjoying myself tremendously. It's a great experience to get married again." Huh? I can see all of you people laughing anyway. Everyone is such a great experience, you should also try it. So this person said, all right, the friend is telling me there must be some good in it, so he also got married. So after he got married, he went to the first wife. The first wife said, "You got married again, you're not coming into this house." She chased him out of the house. So he said, okay, that is the benefit of getting married again. She chased me, I'll go to the second wife now. You know, more gaman hati, more get pride. He went to the next wife. Next wife said, "You are tell you don't give divorce to the first wife, you're not coming in here." So time to be cured. Now he's sitting without a house. Where does he go now? Huh? So he went, where do you go? Go to the masjid. Huh? Masjid Hilal. So he came to Masjid Hilal. So as he came there, he found his friend sitting there. So he said, "But you were telling me that is such a great experience." He said, "Reality was, I was sleeping alone, I needed company." Our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated everyone according to their temperament. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah ta'ala grant us. You see, we have also made marriage into like a situation where it's so foreign to what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Where do you see this aspect? I tell people sometimes bring in your marriage what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has. Don't go and read romantic novels from somewhere else. Don't learn romance in your marriage from anyone else. Learn from the Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many a times used to place his head upon the left of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in i'tikaf on the pillar, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to put oil upon the head of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a times people say, "What is your Islamic perspective with regard to women? And you don't treat your wives correctly." I said, "What are you talking with regard to our wives? our deen, our Islam, started off with the support of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and ended off on the lap of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Akram s.a.w.'s Nabuwat started off when he first got wahi, he came to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and when he passed away, his head was on the lap of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What do you say about the deen, the prophet of whom his Nabuwat started off from one wife and ended off with another wife? But look at the love that Nabi Akram s.a.w. had. Taught us a whole new dimension with regard to how to relate with our families and our spouses. So Nabi Akram s.a.w. used to tell Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, I know your temperament. I know how you are. I know how you are. I know when you are happy with me and I know when you are sad with me. Or you are not so happy with me. How do you know, Ya Rasulullah? He said, when you are very happy, then during the course of your conversation, and many a times the people of Arabia, in the course of their conversations, they used to say, they used to take oaths. So he said, when you are happy with me, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you are little, but you know, there is some sort of tension in the house, you say, by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, only in my tongue, in my heart, I always got love for you. Huh? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much love with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that one day the other wives, they went to Hazrat Fatima, because Hazrat Fatima was very close to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh, Fatima, the daughter, go and tell your father with regard to the excessive love that he has for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And she came and she brought forward this complaint, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my daughter, would you not love what I love? And she said, yes. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, love Aisha because I love Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And yet the people cast aspersions upon this great woman, whom Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the most. Huh? Is it not amazing? Today, what is our situation with regard to our relationship with ours? That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day they were coming back from an expedition, and as they were coming from the expedition, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, you people go ahead, leave me alone with my wife. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they started racing. And initially, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala outraced Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After a while, toward the latter portion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, then again they had a race. And this time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outraced Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and said, this is for the previous time when you beat me in racing, this time I beat you. Today, if you race with your wife, I don't know what fatwa will come against you. Maybe a pamphlet also will come out. Nevertheless, this was how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took into account that what was the situation, dealt with her. One day when she wanted to see the warriors displaying their talents in the courtyard of Masjid Nabawi, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed her to see the display over his shoulder and did not move until she was tired. On the other hand, she had such great love for our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not to say that there wasn't. There was a very famous incident. And one of the great incidents was that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were certain times that she had such excessive love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it played itself out in a state of possessiveness. And I, when I look at those incidents, I say, it is one of the beauties of the humanness of Hazrat Aisha. It is nothing to worry for us. It's not an aspect of objection. It just shows she was vying for the love of someone like the Nabi of Allah. One day when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out to do Jannatul Baqi, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had this view that maybe he's gone to go and visit one of his other wives. So she went after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and see where he went. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the Qabristan when he saw someone in the black burqa following him. And when he came back quickly, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the room and he saw Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was huffing and puffing, and he realized that she was following him. And she said, why were you following him? Do you have any doubt with regard to me? She said an amazing thing. She said, it is worthy of someone like me to be possessive over someone like you. It is worthy of someone like me to be possessive of someone like you. So possessive, so much love. I look at the human aspect. You know, one day they were going on a journey. So as they were going on a journey, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love because of that, the same, the keenness of intellect, teaching her so that she could take those teachings. Remember the theme, preservation of the deen of Almighty Allah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha plays a very important role in that. So one day they were going, and in the journey, before Maghrib, after Asr, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come where Hazrat Aisha, and there were different things. Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala were in that same journey. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come and sit by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala because of enjoying the company of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, then what she did, she one day told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, I don't know, we change tents. This tent maybe looks a little better. Why don't you go stay here? I go sit here. So they changed tents. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the tent where he normally used to come, where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was, and found Hazrat Hafsa. And the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character, he spoke to Hazrat Hafsa, didn't say anything. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is waiting. And then when the time went past, she realized what had happened. Now look at the love. She said, I was so angry with myself that I missed a little bit of opportunity to be in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they used to be in the desert that time, they used to be a plant, where many a time the snakes used to come and dangerous animals used to come. And she said, I was so angry with myself that I gave someone else the opportunity to be in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she put her feet in that plant and said, if this dangerous animal come and bite me because of the stupidity or the naivety of what I had done. This was the love that she had for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. This is with regard to the different aspects with regard. Understand this humanness. So this one occasion, there was a situation where one day, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, because she had come from another place, used to cook a little different cuisine. So one day she sent something to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat. Now this, just look at the beauty of this. And when she sent, and when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala also cooked, and she saw something coming from Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala's house, she felt, now listen, that particular cooking is maybe better than our cooking. So what she did, she told her slave woman that, you know, go and just topple that particular plate and food. So that slave woman was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala went and toppled that particular food where the plate broke and the food spilled down. And everyone was a little bit worried with regard to what had happened. And look at our, the beauty of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we bring about love in our household. We don't create tension. If the husband is supposed to keep the things calm, not to add to the tension. And what did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Your mother became sensitive. He told the Sahaba, when there was a bit of commotion, your mother became sensitive. So what he told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, you replace the plate. You replace the plate that has been broken. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just calm matters. But why is it? We're showing the love that she had for our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In many ways, one of our great Mawlana Bilal Mullah is here, his brother, Mawlana Suleiman Mullah, gives a beautiful example which I've heard from him. He says, sometimes you find in an aeroplane, you see there is turbulence. And then the captain will make an announcement, depending on the state of the turbulence, that there is turbulence. If the turbulence is not so severe, he will say no hot drinks should be served. The meals will continue, but no hot drinks will be served. Sometimes the turbulence has been quite severe, he will say the meals have been suspended. And after the turbulence have continually finished, then all of a sudden he will say, now the meals service would be resumed. So many a times in our houses, when there is turbulence, just wait a little bit by. Don't go and do something stupid. Allah has made you responsible. What is the meaning of responsibility? Allah has made you ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. What is the meaning of responsibility? The ability to respond correctly. That is responsibility. That is why Allah has kept you in charge of talaq. Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened. Just let me, I can't say, I believe that it is on radio, I will be very careful today. Nevertheless, this was with regard to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Then, together with that, was her own taqwa and piety. It's not only with regard to that, her own taqwa. She never, after she heard the virtue of chast namaz, she never ever used to miss chast namaz. She used to keep fast on hot days, on the day of Arafat. And when people used to say that it is not compulsory for you to fast, she used to say that the fasting on the day of Arafat is a means of the expiation of my sins. And with regard to the generosity, one day in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala sent her 100,000 dirhams. And after 100,000 dirhams, she spent the entire type of amount in giving it out, until the slave girl said, at least you should have kept some dirhams for our iftar. Gave everything out in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without even keeping something for her own iftar. Such was her generosity and with regard to it. And one of the great aspects with regard to her is the aspect of where she was falsely accused. I'm not going to go much into the details. Many times you must have heard about that incident. And when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and them were going to Ghazwa Bani Mustalak, on the way back, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's necklace got missing. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha went to go and search for it. And when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha went to go and search for it, and the army went ahead, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha came. This aspect with regard to the missing of the jewelry took place in one or two times. In this particular time, the army went away, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha remained. And when she remained, she knew that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send someone to go and fetch her, so she remained where he was. Safwan bin Mu'attal was instructed by our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to remain behind from the army and just to keep in touch, or if anything had been missing, or if anything had been lost. And he found Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I never saw a person more dignified than Safwan bin Mu'attal. And whenever he wanted me to climb down, he used to bring down the camel. He used to go away from there. And in his absence, I used to get off. I used to go and do whatever I needed to do in terms of wuzu, etc. And then I used to climb on. And after I used to climb on the camel, he used to come and bring me until he brought me into the army. It was nothing untowards in the vast expanse of the Arabian desert. But the munafiqs and the hypocrites found this to be an opportunity to level an accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, the worst type of accusation that you can ever level against a woman. And for 1 month, there was great amount of turmoil in Medina Munawwara. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, "I was not aware with regard to what was happening. I just knew this much, that the normal compassion and kindness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam towards me was missing. And I felt that perhaps I was sick, or Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was busy with regard to his responsibility of prophethood. That's why it was like that." So one day I was going to go and relieve myself, when the mother of Mishka slipped, and when she slipped, she said some unsavory words with regard to her son, Mishka. Ummi Mishka said, and I said, "How can you say unsavory words about your son who took part in the Battle of Badr?" And Ummi Mishka looked at me and said, "Don't you know what my son is involved in?" I said, "What is he involved in?" He said, "He is involved in spreading this rumor." Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I got a shock of my life. I couldn't believe what was being said with regard to me." I then tried to understand why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lacking in compassion toward me because of this rumor and the tension. Many aspects were made mention. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha came, and she took permission to go and stay by her parents' homes. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the meanwhile was greatly perturbed, greatly disturbed. And he called unto the people, and he gave a talk in the masjid. And when he gave a talk into the masjid, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told the people and said, "What have people done towards my family, whom I know nothing but good about? And what have they said about a companion whose morality is well known, and people only know about him in regard of righteousness? They know nothing else about him." And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then took Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Why don't you take the permission or the view of other people?" And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the view of Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash, although she was a co-wife. And what did she say? "Ma alimtu fiha illa khaira." I know nothing but goodness about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And it came to a situation where almost swords were drawn in the Masjid Nabawi. Long incident, I won't go into it. Until Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, after this whole particular incident has taken place for almost 28-29 days. And she came, and he came to Hazrat Aisha and said, "Oh Aisha, we have now come to know with regard to the accusation that has been leveled against you. Whatever it is, say with regard to what it is. And whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with it appropriately." And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Up till that particular time I was crying. And for a moment I asked and expected my parents to be able to answer on my behalf. But they were in such a state. They were also crying and they could not make mention of anything. So," she said, "I took it upon myself to then say." And then I made mention with regard to this, and I said that so much has been said with regard to it. It has been repeated so much time that although it is false, and Allah Ta'ala knows it is false, but in the mind somewhere, people are thinking that perhaps there is some truth in it. And it is all but false. And even if I say that it is false, because people have been spreading this rumor for such a great amount of time, there is a certain degree of doubt and skepticism will greet my refusal and denial with regard to it. And I will only say that which the father of Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam had said, when Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was lost, فَصَبْرٌ jamil, and sabr is the best course of action to adopt. She said, "In my sadness, I could not even remember the name of Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam's father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam. Said, while I was at that state, I saw the signs of wahi coming down upon our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after a while, said, 'Oh Aisha, bear glad tidings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced your innocence from the accusation which has been leveled against you. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, I thought maybe that particular innocence had been inspired upon the heart of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or there has been a wahi which should not form part of the Holy Quran. But wallahi al-azim, may we be sacrificed upon this great woman. Till the day of Qiyamah, marte dam tak, Qiyamah tak, whenever we read the Quran, we will remember Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Our Taraweeh is not complete. Our Quran khatam is not complete. Until we come to that particular two rukus that we read in Surah An-Nur, which speaks about the greatness and the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And part of it, preservation of the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ مُبَرَّعُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ. She is free from the accusations which have been leveled against her. This is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so sensitive with regard to her sanctity, with regard to her honor, with regard to her integrity. The two full rukus, if you ever get the opportunity, tell the ulama, or go and read a reliable tafsir with regard to those two rukus. You will get volumes of knowledge with regard to what it is about the lesson that we have learned from this whole episode. This was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. In later on in her years, she was to play a very prominent role in many other aspects. In the time of Abu Bakr, she played a role. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, she played a role. People used to come to her. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, towards the latter portion when he was stabbed by Abu Lu'lu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, he told his son Abdullah ibn Umar, look at the greatness of this relationship. And he said, oh my son, go and ask Hazrat Aisha. I will inshallah conclude in the next five minutes or so. Go and ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Go and ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that I would like permission to be buried next to the Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, although I have kept that particular position for myself, I will give Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu the right to be buried next to my husband and my father. And bear this in mind, that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala lost her husband and her father by the age of 20. By the age of 20, she had lost her father and she had lost her husband. And in this particular way, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked the permission. And then when she gave the permission, look at the akhlaq of Umar. He said, oh my son, now you have asked her permission. Maybe she had acceded because I am the Amirul Mu'mineen. After I die, take my janazah to the house of Aisha and go and say that Umar ibn Khattab, who has passed away, has made this particular request. Don't say Amirul Mu'mineen has made the request. Maybe she had acceded to the request because I am the Amirul Mu'mineen. Now go and make the request, not as Amirul Mu'mineen because I have passed on, but make the request as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And she still continues and she gives permission. Then in the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, very briefly I'm going to make mention with regard to this. Yes, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala played a prominent role with regard to this. Because when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was martyred, it was such a significant, and it was such a turbulent, and it was such a distressing time for the Sahaba, and for the Sahabiyat, and especially for the wives of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, it was Ummi Habiba radiallahu ta'ala, when there was some delay in the burial of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, she got up on her mule and said, if the Ummah is not going to bury Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan, then we, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will go and bury. And the people who had martyred Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, they had mingled themselves into the army or into the group of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala was aware of it. Ali radiallahu ta'ala was of the opinion that give me time to be able to make matters correct. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala's view was, in the state of confusion you cannot bring justice. Let me restore calm. And when I restore calm, I will be able to take the necessary type of justice that is required. On the other hand, because it was such a distressing time, many of the Sahaba felt something needs to be done with regard to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala shahadat. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was in Hajj when this particular matter came. And two of the companions, Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, were amongst those who came to her and said, oh, Ummul Mu'mineen, you are someone whom the people listen to. You need to take a stance with regard to it. Let us make a stance with regard to justice to find out the people who had murdered Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala went to Basra. And when she went to Basra with the intention of gathering people to put pressure so that the murderers of Uthman could be found and they could be given justice over what they have done. because this was a tremendous, great amount of injustice that had been happened. And she used to make mention that the reason why I had gone was for the sake of reconciling people and for the sake of bringing justice within the ummah. And she said, I never even thought in my wildest dreams that this could have happened, that would have led to war between myself and Ali radiallahu anhu. And that also has its own particular type of incident and history behind it. Because when Ali radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Talha bin Zubair and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu met just before the battle of Jamal, just before the battle of the Camel, they had reached an agreement with regard to what to do, how to find out the killers of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And after they had reached an agreement, they had just separated during the course of the night. And the munafiqs and the hypocrites, the very same hypocrites which sometimes still have their influence still in the wider Muslim politics, they were the ones who did not want this particular peace and this agreement to go ahead. So what they did was, they attacked from both sides. So during the course of that battle, many people who lost their lives. Those are the heroes of Badr. But yet many Sahaba's lives were lost in the Battle of the Jabal. The reason why it is known as the Battle of Jamal was because the entire army and the entire battle surrounded the camel of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And when Ali radiallahu anhu came to realize that, he then said, attack the camel of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, if that is hamstrung. And when the camel came down onto the ground, the battle stopped. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha used to cry and said, I never ever thought that was going to happen. My intention was to bring justice. My intention was to reconcile the groups of people who had gone into different directions. And I felt that I could use my influence to play a role in bringing reconciliation between the people. Sometimes you do something in the best of interest, in the best of intentions, and it spirals beyond control. Which is a very important lesson. Never start off something which you don't know what is the end result going to be. Never start off something which you don't know about the consequences. But this was something that happened. But to show you what was the love between Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu performed the janazah of all the people who had lost their lives in that particular battle. And when the situation came with regard to Hazrat Aisha, and when the camel came down, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the camel and said, oh my mother, how are you? And she said, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me safe. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu thereafter sent 40 women from Basra to accompany Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu back to Medina Munawwara. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala stayed up till the 58th year after Hijri. On the 17th of Ramadan, she passed away. When she was on the deathbed and she was just about to pass away, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to go and visit Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And because she was in pain and she was in the last stages, she didn't want to meet anyone. So she made ma'adrat and she said, I don't want to meet anyone. I would like to make and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, just allow me to come and meet my mother and say few things. Just allow me to go and say few things with regard to what I've heard from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu gave her the permission, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu came and said, oh mother, I know you are in a situation where you are sickly and you are about to leave this world, or you feel you're going to leave this world, or you feel that you are sickly. I have just come to tell you, Allah al-Azim, I heard from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said, Aisha will be my wife in Jannah. Aisha will be my wife in Jannah. The same Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. The same Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu passed away. No? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu makes mention in a hadith in Mishkatul Masabit. He said, I heard a person saying at the janazah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, oh Ibn Khattab, may Allah have mercy upon you. Whenever I heard Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking, whenever I heard him saying something, he always used to say, Ana Abu Bakr wa Umar. Dakhaltu ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar. Dhahabtu ana Abu Bakr wa Umar. Me Abu Bakr and Umar, we did this. Me Abu Bakr and Umar, we went here. Me Abu Bakr and Umar, we came back from here. Me Abu Bakr and Umar, this, that. And Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I looked behind to see who was saying these words. It was none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu saying these words. And the same Abdullah ibn Abbas, the reason why I'm making mention of the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that people sometimes put this false notion that there was tension and lack of respect between the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, especially with regard to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, prior to the death of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, comes and give glad tidings to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and said, I heard Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will be my wife in Jannah. She passes away on the 17th of Ramadan. And that night, at night after Isha, her janazah is made. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu performs the janazah. And it is said there was never such a crowd in a night janazah the way there was of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. In conclusion, we say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the qabr with nur and elevate the status of our mother. She was the one whose nikah was approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her in a dream. This is your wife in this world and in the year after. She was the one whom Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, the superiority of Aisha over all other women is like the superiority of Farid over all other dishes. She was the one whom many a times wahi came upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she was in the same bed, in the same sheet with our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed two rukus to declare her innocence. And she was the one who was most loved by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of the beloved of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she was the one that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on her lap. May Allah ta'ala grant her the greatest status. May Allah ta'ala grant her the greatest of reward. And we thank her for her contribution to this deen, for the love that she had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for us. Maybe because of us speaking about her greatness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it the means of our salvation. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.